Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Melcor REIT fourth quarter conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Jonathan Chia, Chief Financial Officer of Melcor REIT. Please go ahead, Mr. Chia.
Thank you, Lana. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our conference call and webcast for the fourth quarter and full year of 2015. On the call with me this morning is Darren Rayburn, the CEO of Melcor REIT. If you've not reviewed the materials related to this call, including the MD&A and the financial statements, they are available on the Investor Relations section of our website at melcorreit.ca or on sedar.com. Our goal is to keep our remarks to a brief, high-level review of the year and then open up the call for your questions. Before turning it over to Darren to discuss the results, I have mandatory statements to make. Certain statements made during this call may be forward-looking. For a complete discussion of items that may cause actual results to differ, please refer to the business environment and risk section of our annual management discussions and analysis. Second, we report our financial results in Canadian dollars and in accordance with IFRS. We supplement our financial reporting with non-standard measures, including funds from operations, adjusted funds from operations, and net operating income. We believe these measures are important in evaluating our performance, but caution listeners that they may not be comparable to similar measures presented by other companies. These non-standard measures are defined and reconciled in our management discussion analysis. I will now walk everyone through some of the financial highlights of our results for the year ended December 31st, 2015. Our portfolio continued to perform well, with growth of 47% for rental revenue and 45% for net operating income compared to 2014. This growth was driven by portfolio growth from acquisitions completed in the fourth quarter of 2014. Our operating margin in 2015 improved 1% to 61%. FFO and AFFO increased by 47% and 39% respectively compared to 2014. Per unit amounts also grew 17% for FFO and 11% for AFFO. We paid distributions of 67.5 cents through 2015 and reduced our payout ratio over 11% from 89% in 2014 to 80% in 2015. We continue to capitalize on opportunities to finance our properties and to create liquidity on our balance sheet and reduce our weighted average interest rate by 5% over 2014 as a result of mortgage financings completed this year. From a balance sheet perspective, we are well positioned to take advantage of opportunities as they arise. Now, I will turn the call over to Darren, who will speak about the portfolio's operations and performance.
Thanks, John. Congratulations to our Melcor REIT team for a solid fourth quarter and a strong performance in 2015, despite the negative economic sentiment in the markets we operate in. Our steady results in 2015 demonstrate the sustainability of our model and the strength and resiliency of our portfolio. One thing is certain, in these turbulent times of market volatility and uncertainty, nothing speaks louder than performance. Last year, we committed to continue to execute on our business plan in 2015, and we have. The strength of our portfolio is in our people, our relationships, and the relationships they build with our clients, our commitment to providing unrivaled customer care, and our history with our assets and within our markets. We know and understand our assets, our clients, and the nuances of the markets where we operate. The severe impact that the sharp oil decline has anticipated to have on operations of Western Canadian-based real estate companies has not happened at the Melcor REIT. This is largely due to the way we have carefully designed our portfolio over the years to be well-diversified in tenant mix, geography, and asset class. Our portfolio is purposefully shaped to mitigate and benefit from the cyclical nature of Alberta and Western Canadian economies. In 2015, we saw the full impact of the properties we acquired throughout 2014 and their contribution to our results. Our whole portfolio performed well, and our new assets brought up our weighted average base rent while we were executing strategic leasing programs to increase occupancy. A strategic imperative throughout 2014 and 2015 has been increasing the occupancy, and at year-end 2015, portfolio occupancy ended at 93.6%, a year-over-year increase of 1.2% following strong leasing activity on new and renewed tenancies. 2015, we successfully renewed 168,000 square feet of expiring space, and also generated over 125,000 square feet of new leasing throughout our portfolio. Tenant satisfaction with our assets, our service level, and our people is paramount to our ongoing success. Throughout 2015, we continued to improve our best-in-class customer care program and build strong relationships with our clients. We surveyed several of our office buildings, providing important feedback on the areas we need to improve on, as well as a benchmark of our performance to date. We're very proud of what that survey told us. 93.8% of respondents rated our property management team good, very good, or excellent. 94.3% of respondents rated our building operations team as good, very good, or excellent. 91.4% of the respondents rated their overall satisfaction with their building, again, as good, very good, or excellent. Congratulations to our team for their efforts and their dedication to our tenants. Acquisitions continue to be a focus for external growth for the REIT. In 2015, we added just over 31,000 square feet of additional gross leasable area from two high-quality assets that were accreted to the REIT, executing on the strategy of growing on existing phases and developments where the REIT already owns properties. Both these assets were purchased as part of the REIT's right of first offer on everything Melcor Developments builds. These assets were never available to any other potential purchasers. The densification of existing properties to create additional value is another growth enhancement strategy we executed on in 2015. We completed construction of a new commercial retail unit and retail power center, which increased gross leasable area by just over 7,500 square feet. We are currently constructing a 7,800 square foot commercial retail unit at an additional regional shopping center. We continue to look for densification opportunities across our portfolio. Our continued stable results are the outcome of our strategy of building a diversified portfolio of quality assets, strengthened by our latest acquisitions and our focus on the fundamentals of our business, which are looking after our tenants, executing on our leasing strategy, improving operating efficiency, and investing in our assets. Our pedigree in the 93 years of Melcor Development's history, culture, and experience with changing economic and political landscapes makes up an important part of who the Melcor REIT is and why we are unique. Today, there are many positive factors that will continue to shape our growth and our future. We believe the continued focus on real estate fundamentals will result in a maximum return for unitholders over time. In October, November, December 2015, we made distributions of 5.6 cents per trust unit for a payout ratio of 8%. This compares to our 2014 payout ratio of 89%. As John mentioned earlier, this 80% payout ratio is a critical factor not to be overlooked. At 80%, our payout ratio is a strong indicator of our overall health and our ability to sustain distributions to our unitholders at current rates. With a strong and diversified portfolio, our focus on property management client relationships, our balance sheet, solid governance by our mainly independent board of trustees, and the right of first offer to purchase from a solid pipeline of assets being developed by Melcor Developments over the next 5 to 15 years, the Melcor REIT remains well positioned for the future. 2016 will not be without its challenges, but we will keep moving forward with a business as usual mindset while being mindful of and adapting to current economic challenges. We will continue to monitor macroeconomic factors and plan for potential impact on our business. We will continue to look for opportunities to build and strengthen our portfolio via acquisitions. We will continue to focus on the details and ensure that we have the right mix of properties and clients. We will continue to focus on providing our customers the best service, so when it comes to renew, we remain their landlord of choice. Alberta, our main market, has undergone dramatic changes in economic outlook over the past year as a result of lower oil prices. Despite this, we continue to see good leasing activity and have not seen a slowdown in interest or in near-term ability to renew and sign new leases. While being mindful of the new downtown office inventory coming online in the next few years in Edmonton and Calgary, we continue to proactively renew leases and seek out new tenants for existing vacancies. We are committed to prudent financial stewardship to ensure maximum value to our unit holders. At the end of the day, nothing speaks louder than performance. The Melcor REIT will continue to perform for our unit holders. Frankly, the market volatility we're experiencing is not new to us. It's not foreign to us, and as fact as Albertans, it's a volatility is something we've come to expect. It's part of doing business in Alberta, and it's part of who we are. It's how Melcor Developments has successfully built the company and prospered for 93 years. This experience will shape how the Melcor REIT will continue to perform for our unit holders. We'd now be happy to take your questions. Elena, can you please open up the phone lines?
Certainly, thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register. Thank you for your patience. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. The first question is from Dean Wilkinson with CIBC World Markets. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning, guys.
Morning, Dean.
Could you just clarify perhaps on your the weighted average base rent across the portfolio was up 2% to just under $1,550. Do you have what that is on a same property basis?
About the same, Dean. I don't think it changed very much. I think I know for sure that on the industrial side it went up because we replaced a tenant that expired and didn't renew, and then we signed for slightly better rates. In Edmonton, I think Darren's been talking about the office rents in Edmonton being fairly flat. And retail, I mean, anything retail, you know, really going up.
We
still have rent steps. I mean, I guess that gets fixed by rent steps, but on an overall basis, but when you're talking just specific rents, we still have lots of rent steps coming up.
Dean, it's Darren also. It's really a question that's regional. You know, if you look at, as John said, if you look at the Edmonton office, you know, we're trying to maintain rates there. But if you look at, you know, our Calgary office, which is not the downtown office, as you guys know, and our Calgary retail, very strong, and our Lethbridge projects are showing increases in rates. So across the board, as John said, it's pretty stable.
Okay, so it would roughly be in line with what the contractual steps are then on the properties.
Correct.
Okay. And then just in Q4, how much was the operating margin impacted to the positive on the recovery true-ups?
I don't think there was a huge margin improvement. Dean, I think there's two streams, right? I think when we do our recoveries, we do it on a bit more of a straight-line basis, and then we do adjustments at the end of the year. And then operating costs kind of ebb and flow based on a myriad of things. I think at the end of this year, there are no adjustments per se. We pretty much hit our internal budget for what our operating costs are. So the recovery, I mean, it's improved a little bit, but more so because occupancy has improved.
Okay. Was there also an impact on the margin from favorable, pardon me, weather?
There was. We were smiling, Dean, because it was probably the nicest fall with the fewest amount of snow that we've seen in a long time across our portfolio. It wasn't significant for the true up, but it definitely was a savings.
Did have a savings, okay. Well, let's not jinx it. And then in terms of the G&A, John, your guidance sort of 5% despite it coming in sort of 4% revenues for 2015, are you expecting an increase in G&A, or is that kind of highballing the number a bit?
The 5% is probably on the higher end. But remember, in 2014, it was much higher because we had a lot more capital market activity, so our consulting costs related to that was up.
Right.
So I guess it's really up to the market in some respects. If our stock price comes back up, we'll be able to raise a bit of money, and hence that will then kind of move in lockstep. But it depends on kind of the outlook. Right now, it probably is a little heavy at the 5% guidance. But
okay, great. And then just the last one for me is, you know, there's some discussion there on the cap rate move, particularly in the northern Alberta, sort of up 25 to 75 basis points. Is that sort of just reflective of transactions you've seen, or is this sort of that people sitting around the table going, we think cap rates have gone up here?
Dean, Darren, thanks for the question. The challenge is there aren't a lot of transactions. The negative sentiment about Alberta, and I don't have to get into that here because you've all heard me talk about that before, but when you look at where the cap rate's going, you know, it's sort of the B-class Edmonton office that took a hit on cap rates. But if you look at the retail in Calgary, we're seeing actually cap rates go down. If you look at the retail and some of the office in Lethbridge, cap rates are go down. So, you know, it really is depending on how people view the markets. Conversely, we're hearing that for the A-class properties, which aren't trading in Edmonton or Calgary, there's a potential that when a trade happens, cap rates may drop because they're still coveted by some of the funds.
Right, fair enough. And then just the last one, it's very, very small. The sequential vacancy in Saskatoon, B.C., Saskatchewan, B.C., went down. I'm assuming that's just like one tenant rolled off or something?
Yeah, again, one of the challenges is, you know, in Kelowna we have 100,000 square feet, and in Saskatchewan we have 265,000 square feet, so we lost one or two mid-sized tenants.
Yep.
Of which, you know, we replaced one of them, but the answer to your question is yes.
Yeah, okay, so I just want one tenant, that's probably been backed up. Okay, that's all I had. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Dean.
Thank you. The next question is from Nelson Ma with Laurentian Bank. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, guys. I was wondering if you could just talk about your 16 and 17 lease maturities and, you know, where you think it's heading, right? So I think, like, Penn West and Crowfoot's in there.
Well, so would you like me, Nelson, it's Darren, just to refer to the Edmonton portfolio or just generally speaking?
No, more Edmonton.
Okay, gotcha. So one of the things that we're encouraged in Edmonton is if you look at our expiries, they aren't significant. And, in fact, even from a downtown Edmonton perspective, if you look at sort of 2016 and 2017, in our four downtown office buildings, we're only talking about 30,000 square feet expiring in both those years. To answer your question about, you know, Penn West and some of the other oil and gas companies, we actually just did a renewal with Penn West for 3 years, and they're paying their rent, and they're occupying their space, and the trucks are filling our parking lot. So notwithstanding what you read in the financial markets about them, as long as they're paying rent and we see activity, we're pretty confident with it. So the answer to your question, Nelson, is we're bullish about our renewal opportunities in the Edmonton market in 2016, 2017. It's hard to do deals, and quite frankly, while we're trying to maintain rates, we know that our TI requirements, our tenant inducement requirements, are going up with our tenants, so it's costing us a bit more money to do deals. The real impact of the Edmonton office market is not going to happen until 2018, 2019, when some of those new buildings are finished. The one building that you and I have chatted about in the past, Nelson, the Kelly Ramsey building, it's virtually full. So there's going to be a little bit of negative absorption when Enbridge moves over into the Kelly Ramsey building, and it really depends what Bentall Kennedy does with their Enbridge Tower, which will be 100% vacant. But beyond that, it's not as catastrophic as people are projecting.
So for the Penn West, I guess they renewed kind of in line then?
Correct.
Okay, is there any Calgary office expiring in those 2 years?
I don't have my detailed expiry. I'm sure there is. I know Halliburton expires, but we're currently working right now on replacing Halliburton on the top floor of the Crowfoot Business Center. They don't expire until sort of mid-2017, I believe. Beyond that, there are no significant expiries in office because we really only have our two small buildings in the Calgary portfolio.
Okay, got it. Yeah, here's one last question. You know, on the vendins, right, I guess your stock price is down a little bit, but I remember Melcor Developments has, like, stuff ready. So I was wondering, like, what would your focus or strategy on that?
The properties are some of them are they're getting closer and closer to being ready, I guess is how I'll say it. And I think the value is quite substantial. I think in the medium term, certainly there's no huge rush to get those properties in if the deal doesn't work for everybody. Because I mean, not only for Melcor Developments, but it's got to work out for the Melcor REIT unit holders too. So certainly these are the opportunity to move these assets in. I think we've talked in the past is an opportunity to upclass the REIT and to create a better quality and continue to improve the quality of the distribute or the income in the REIT. But I think, you know, neither party would do a deal if it didn't make sense. And so I think, you know, it's kind of a long-winded way of saying, you know, it's there and we're waiting and there's really no rush in doing it. We just need to wait for the economics to make sense.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Michael Smith with RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Darren, you were saying that retail rents are going up. If you just give us some color on as to why. Is it because the rents are older, like the in-place rents are, you know, 5 years old and they're coming off maturities, or is it because market rents are going up?
Thanks, Michael. Just to be clear, I'm not saying retail rents across the board numbers are going up, but you did hit the nail on the head. Is in some of the active existing retail developments, we're seeing some opportunities to renew leases with increases. They're not significant increases, but they are increases. You know, in some of the newer developments, now I'm speaking outside of the REIT, I'm speaking anecdotally, but some of the newer developments, we've not seen the development pro forma rents come down. Now, there's no secret that, you know, retail sales per capita have dropped in Alberta, but we're still above the national average. So for good retail sites, retailers are coveting the space. And for some of our sites, I mean, we have very little vacancy in any of our retail sites, and the ones that we do, especially in Edmonton, we are having multiple offers on some of the spaces. It gives us an opportunity to really focus on the covenant and experience of the tenancies. And in times like this, it's nice to have some national tenancies in your portfolio. Did that answer your question, Michael?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Rayburn.
Well, thank you, everyone, again, for your time and your interest in the Melcor REIT. We look forward to speaking to you again, reporting on the first quarter of 2016 results. Have a good day and goodbye.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.